Hey, it's us.
I see a blinking red record button.
Yes, apparently we're recording. I've got this crazy idea. Let's play the announcement, the intro, at the beginning of our videos.
As in to introduce this.
Yeah, at the introduction.
Okay, we'll see.
Here's a box.
In a world filled with uncertainty, two semi-intelligent, somewhat interesting, Midwestern, Family Guy, business coaches with dad bods, provide mildly insightful ideas through their semi-focused dialogue. Welcome to It Doesn't Take a Genius.
And we're just the guys to do it. Yeah, if you were to name a podcast or Zoomcast, It Doesn't Take a Genius, who would you want in that role?
Not geniuses.
Yes, yeah, that would be us. So what are we talking about today, Mr. Ramsey?
Well, you had mentioned the importance of stories, and I am right there with you. When we were sort of planning this, I got very excited because I think this is foundational to life itself. So you had a specific thing that had happened, though, that is sort of your impetus behind this in this interview that you heard. Do you want to share a little bit about this car dealer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had the opportunity to hear from Bobby Jorgensen from Kistler Ford. And I hope he doesn't mind us mentioning his name. And I know he doesn't because he loves telling the story.
So, right.
So what makes Bobby unique is that he got a car franchise, and then he decided that he would do the opposite of what everybody else is doing. So he takes great pride, and if everybody's going this way, he's going that way. And so one of the things that he's done is that he's gone to a non-commissioned salesperson. And so these are salary-based people. They don't even call them salespeople, or they call them product specialists. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about what makes a product specialist unique. And he says, I pay these people, and I only pay them to do one thing, and that's to tell our story. And yeah. Kistler Ford story is unique, right? They're completely positioned different in the marketplace. They got this great story. And I was just blown away. I'm like, that's absolutely amazing. Right? I'm going to pay people to tell my story. And then he went on to talk about the interview process. And so he was talking about, you know, how do you find storytellers? And most of his product specialists are very young. And he says, part of the interview is this. He looks at the candidate and he says, tell me a story and make me feel like I was there.
I need to know you can really do this.
yeah, not just meander and butcher a story. And he doesn't care what the story is. It can be a story from their life, right? Tell me about your last vacation. I don't care. But when you're done, I need to have felt like I was with you on that journey.
Love that.
And I was talking to one of my other stores, and we were, they're a very progressive store, very innovative. And they had hit upon the fact that they had figured out that they wanted people who had been former leaders. And so this was a pretty cool thing. So if you were, president of the chess club, if you were captain of the track team, they didn't care. Just they figured out over time that their best salespeople were people who had already been in some sort of leadership role previously.
Sure.
So this store also has a very unique story. And so I shared with them Bobby's idea, and they were just stunned. Wow. They couldn't get over how simple it was and yet how powerful it was. So here's this incredibly simple idea, incredibly powerful. And it was the piece that they were missing. And so they sat back and they thought about their existing staff. And they said, all right, so who on our team can tell a story? And they started thinking of their salespeople who could tell stories, and lo and behold, they were also the salespeople who were very effective.
Right? Who made money.
yeah, they made money, they sold a lot of cars, they had lots of repeats, lots of referrals, lots of advocacy.
Yeah.
lots of online reviews, things like that. So the power of storytelling becomes this huge differentiation point for stores.
Well, so let's talk about what makes the power of the story work. You know, why does storytelling work? Why do stories work? And I, you know, something that you mentioned there is, you know, the fact that customers are hearing these stories and in some way becoming, let's use the word captivated, because you think about a good story, we think about it. It captures our imaginations. That's what makes it captivating. And we have a smarty friend, John Kusava, who told us stories are storage. That the story can be the, you know, for instance, it can be the cultural memory of a company, of an organization. And so this idea of if the story is a good story, then it's going to draw people in. It's going to have some effect of capturing the imaginations, if not the wallets, if not the hearts of our workers, the wallets of our customers, et cetera. You had mentioned a story like that with a dealership that didn't know what year they started.
Oh, yeah. Great story. We were working with the store. It was they were preparing to celebrate their 75th anniversary of being in business. And there was an argument among the store owners about if this was the year. Was this year our 75th year or is it next year? And I was confused. I'm like, how can we not know this? How can we not know what year we started this business? And they said, well, it's kind of fuzzy because great-grandfather started he got the franchise in 1945. And history buffs out there will know that was the same time that World War II ended. And so Ford gave him the franchise and said, here, your car dealership. And then they told him the bad news that you're not going to get a new car for a year. And so he got the store and then he didn't get a single car for a year. And he knew that going in.
Yeah. And yet, he took the risk anyway. Yeah,
he said, this is a great idea. All right. Yeah. Signed up. And so they said, it's our 75th anniversary of existence, but it's our 74th year of selling new cars.
Wow.
Because we didn't have any. And I said, who knows this story? This is the greatest story ever. This is America. And I said, well, nobody knows the story. and this is a store that's really big on their history. They've got the black and white photos in the hallways and they're very proud of their heritage. But not a single salesperson knew the story. And so that became part of the 75th anniversary celebration of, we just have to tell that single story. And then that tells you about the mindset of the store to this day.
Yeah. You know,
they're positive, they're proactive, they get things done, they overcome obstacles. The story encapsulated who they are as an organization, as a culture.
And here's the thing about that this is what's so fascinating to me. Maybe that story doesn't appeal to everybody, right? That's not going to appeal to every customer, to every prospective employee. Mm-hmm. But there are parts of that story that are going to so resonate with certain strands of the public that you would be silly not to share that story. The whole time we've been talking, Mike, I hope it can't be heard on the when we actually listen to this recording. But I have, for reasons I will not reveal now, a banjo hanging on the wall in my office.
Okay.
Again, we can talk about that another day.
Yeah,
but,
in Kentucky, so I thought it was the requirement. Every house is mandated, to have a still and a banjo.
You're getting a little too close to home when you say a still and a banjo, but anyway.
That's how I'm picturing your state.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Indiana. I have this banjo on the wall, and periodically my voice will go to a certain register and the banjo will start humming. I will see I can't see the strings vibrating, but I will hear the strings over across the room. I have made the strings resonate. It has resonated with my voice. I have hit it at just the right pitch where the strings say, yeah, that's what I'm about. And the energy takes the string over and it vibrates. Now, that's a word picture, but we use the same language, right? You know, we want a story that resonates. Well, it's going to resonate for some people, but it's going to resonate so powerfully that you must tell this captivating story. You must bring that into your mix.
Oh, definitely. Well, and there are other strings on the banjo that are just sitting there.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not vibrating with excitement as you hit the notes that they love. And when you think about that, it kind of reminds you of Simon Sinek's. You know, he talks about your goal is not to sell to everybody who needs what you sell. Your goal is to sell to people who believe what you believe.
That's right.
And so people who feel the same way and who the story resonates with, that's the people we want them to get extremely excited. We want them to dive into this thing and go, wow, I want to be associated with that. Those are the kind of people I want to hang out with.
Great point.
Apart from whatever it is, service or product they're providing.
Yeah. Now, I think one of the reasons that works is that what's resonating for a lot of people is the meaning behind the story. Mm-hmm. So what I'm thinking about there is, you know, some of the oldest stories we have, the Epic of Gilgamesh and the epic poetry of Homer, you know, the Iliad, the Odyssey, these ancient stories that were told around the campfire thousands of years ago, and they're long, and they were memorized and recited from memory. Mm-hmm. Kids would memorize these, you know, it'd be a part of their education at some point to memorize big swaths of these poems. And the stories aren't, you know, it's not Goofus and Gallant. It's not, you know, here are the good guys and here are the bad guys. In the case of the Iliad, you know, there are people described as heroes in the Trojan camp and the Greek camp during the Trojan War. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, as you hear the story and hear the narrative, you can get in their shoes, you can see things from their perspective, it can help you process things that are happening in your life right now, and you're, in other words, you're teasing out meaning from this fairly complicated story. And we can certainly think of, you know, lots of stories like that where it's not, you know, the founding of Apple is not like, and then they lived happily ever after, right? It's this very complicated story between, you know, Steve Jobs and Woz and the dynamic tension between the two of them, and they're in this garage and they had the chutzpah to, you know, to do this crazy thing and start a company and try to change the world. And read Steve Jobs' biography. It is not attractive, but it is a darn good story. And a lot of it resonates with us to where we're still using, you know, business practices and leadership examples from Steve Jobs and anti-examples from Steve Jobs to this day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Well, and I think that's one of the cornerstone stories is the founder's story.
Yeah.
And so people want to know what the early days were like. What was the struggle in the beginning? And we know so many of them. You know, we know Sam Walton's story. We know Apple's story. We know the Starbucks story. You know, there's just countless examples. The Southwest Airlines and the napkin. You know, a triangle with three cities on it. And let's start an airline.
Yeah.
What?
Ray Kroc and seeing the McDonald's set up with the selling the milkshake machines, and then realizing, hold on, these guys are onto something.
Yeah, this could be big. So the founder story, I think, is one of the keys to do this. And it's if there again, people will resonate with it. It will strike a chord with them. It's always inspirational. And there's a story arc. There's a journey to this thing.
Yeah.
So let's think about, all right. So how do you tell a story? Mm. Right? I've noticed in the world that some people can't tell a story.
That's right.
And you know these people, and when they come up to you.
Hey, this is Mark Ramsey, co-host of It Doesn't Take a Genius. You just heard us discussing why stories are so important.
Funny story about that. We had so many good insights shared that we realized it would help our audience to split the episode into two parts. Of course, we didn't realize that until after we had recorded. So this episode wraps up the why portion of our discussion. Come back for the next episode where we share how you can tell your story. Take us home, Mr. Announcer.
And that, I guess, is that. It doesn't take a genius. No rights reserved, nothing trademarked, copyrighted, or even original. Feel free to give it to anyone, anytime, using any and all media formats. Warning, Mark and Mike may or may not make another one. I'm your announcer, and I did not get paid a nickel to do this. They won't even let me tell you my name. So until next time, if there is a next time, stay safe, be well.
That's good enough.